Disclaimer, I am a counseling student, I am not a mental health professional, and I cannot give or offer mental health services. You are listening to Good, You. I'm your host, Samantha, and today is a solo episode, and we're going to be talking about narcissism. So, narcissistic personality disorder. This is definitely a topic I've been wanting to touch on, and I've gotten a lot of requests. I did a poll on the Instagram, and this is the topic that won, so this is the one we're going to be doing today. If you want to vote on more topics in the future or, you know, keep up with what's going to be posted, make sure you're following the Instagram at goodyou.therapy. And yeah, please give it a like, subscribe to the podcast, do all those fun things. Thank you for your support. Let's get started. Okay, so narcissistic personality disorder. Yeah, it's going to be kind of a wild dive. So first, let's talk about narcissism in general. Okay, we all have some traits of narcissism, or at least most people do. And it's not always a bad thing. There's two different types of narcissism. So there's adaptive narcissism and maladaptive narcissism. So adaptive narcissism, these are the good traits of narcissism, and it can be a healthy form of narcissism. So this is high self-confidence, self-reliance, self-esteem. You know, those are good things to have. And obviously, you know, everything or most disorders are on a spectrum, right? Most diagnosed disorders are on a spectrum. It is good and healthy to have high self-confidence. It's good and healthy to have high self-reliance. And it's good and healthy to have high self-esteem. When it gets too high and then it becomes entitlement or aggression, that's when it starts to become symptoms to diagnose a disorder. And those would fall under the maladaptive narcissism. So maladaptive narcissism are the traits that are more harmful and would be associated with narcissistic personality disorder. These are, you'll see people who are entitled, aggressive, manipulative, someone who is willing to take advantage of others for their own personal gain. There are different types of narcissists. So we're going to go over the two most common, and that's going to be overt and covert narcissists. These are the two we're going to discuss. So overt narcissists, they are the more outgoing narcissists. They're going to be the more extroverted narcissists. They're outgoing, they're arrogant, they're entitled, overbearing, exploitative, competitive, and they lack empathy. So these are people you'll see doing what they need to do to get to the top, no matter whose neck they have to step on to get there. They love getting credit where credit is due, and that is to themselves. Okay, so they are the reason that things are being run correctly. They are the reason that everything is so successful and that they're so successful. They get all the positive feedback, okay? No negative feedback, please. They lack empathy for others. So, you know, you have that boss, you have a funeral to attend. Well, you can't miss work. What about the project? Can you be back in like 30 minutes? Or you're sick? I thought you were going to bring me to the movies. You know, people who are just very inconsiderate and don't like when things go not their way. So those are going to be the overt narcissists. Those are going to be the ones where it's easier to see. So the covert and introverted narcissists, these are harder to see the narcissistic traits in until you really get to know this person. So a covert narcissist will have low confidence, and they are pretty insecure. And you're probably thinking, what? Wait. A narcissist being insecure? Yes. This is the type of narcissism that has a higher likelihood of experiencing anxiety, depression, and shame. Shame is a big thing in some forms of narcissism. So a lot of people can't handle that shame, and so instead they get extremely aggressive, and that's what you'll see in narcissism. So they tend to play the victim in situations that don't go their way and when they're being called out for their own behavior. So they really don't take criticism too well. I found this quote by M. Scott Peck, and it says, "Since narcissists deep down feel themselves to be faultless, it is inevitable that when they are in conflict with the world, they will invariably perceive the conflict as the world's fault," which is very, very true. Yet they will find a way to make something everyone else's fault but their own. They will be the last person to blame. So these narcissists still have the characteristics and traits of having a lack of empathy, and they can be smug and have a superiority complex without you realizing it, because they do it in a quiet way, in a sneakier way, if you want to say it that way. So what is NPD? So NPD is Narcissistic Personality Disorder, and we're going to talk about the DSM-5 a little. So that, again, is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders that we use for diagnosing, that mental health professionals use. So NPD is a pervasive pattern of grandiosity in fantasy or behavior, need for admiration, and lack of empathy, beginning by early adulthood and present in a variety of contexts, as indicated by five or more of the following. So number one, has a grandiose sense of self-importance. For example, exaggerates achievements and talents, expects to be recognized as superior without commensurate achievements. So grandiosity is the quality of being impressive and imposing in appearance or style, especially pretentiously so. So this is not the same as having high self-confidence. This is the type of people that brag and talk about only themselves and all their accomplishments to the point where it's extremely excessive. And they're so busy talking about themselves that they may even forget that you're in the room with them. So number two, is preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, or ideal love. So they love, love, love talking about themselves. Yeah, they have high goals and they want to achieve things that will get them the attention that they're searching for. You know, if they become doctors, and if they make it big in politics, or they make it big and become a CEO, that's where they want to be. That's who they aspire to be. Number three, believes that they are special and unique and can only be understood by or should associate with other special or high status people or institutions. So narcissists expect to be recognized as superior and important even when they have no achievements to warrant people to view them this way. So they're envious of others who are high status and successful, and they believe others envy them too. So you should envy me too, because I am also special and important. Number four, requires excessive admiration. So kind of something we just talked about. So their need for excessive admiration will cause some serious entitled human beings. I deserve that promotion. I'm the only one here fit for that position, even though they haven't done half the work that the person who actually received the promotion did. I'm the best actor here. And then when they don't get the part, they start calling the casting crew idiots. The casting agents, I don't know, I'm not an actor, so I don't know what they're called. But the people that cast the role, they're idiots. They don't know what they're doing. They shouldn't even be casting. I didn't even want to be in this play or movie or anyway. I'm too good for this one. Number five, has a sense of entitlement. That is, unreasonable expectations or especially favorable treatment or automatic compliance with his or her expectations. So I love the people that come into my parents' restaurant and ask for free items, claiming that they know the owners. Like, yeah, dude, I know the owners too. And I promise you that they're not just giving things away for free for knowing them. So number six, is interpersonally exploitative. That is, takes advantage of others to achieve his or her own ends. So you'll see this within relationships, friendships, family relationships, work relationships, doing what they have to do for their own best interest. Seven, lacks empathy, is unwilling to recognize or identify with the feelings and needs of others. And this can be really frustrating, because no matter how hard you try to get someone with NPD to understand what you're feeling, how you're feeling, and or what they did to upset you, they won't. You start recognizing these behaviors in someone, save your breath, and kind of try to prioritize where you are in that relationship. Number 8, is often envious of others or believes that others are envious of them. Yeah, what did I say earlier about people envying them, right? Them envying people in high success positions and them believing that people envy them as well. And number 9, shows arrogant, haughty behaviors or attitudes. So they are conceited and pretentious, and they love to brag about their accomplishments in a way that surpasses normal and healthy proudness of success. So those are some of the symptoms of what it takes to be diagnosed with NPD. So now we're going to talk about just some popular on-screen examples of individuals with narcissistic personality disorder. So if you've ever watched Everybody Loves Raymond, you definitely know who Marie Barone is, and that is Raymond's mother. Either that, or I've heard of this show and saw like a clip the other day of, I think it's like TLC. I love a mama's boy. Okay, so you're gonna see some of the same characteristics in those moms as Marie Barone. Marie Barone makes it known that she is the matriarch of the family, and what she says goes. Okay. And she's not afraid to put her daughter-in-laws in their place if they try to get her sons to go against her. She struggles tremendously with apologies, with giving apologies. And if she is upset, then the whole family knows about it. And they will only know her side of the story, which a lot of the times gets extremely warped to make her look like the victim. So she is definitely a narcissist in this show. And we can talk about one more who is more widely known. That is Regina George from Mean Girls. Okay. Good old Regina George. And this one should be more obvious, right? This is the classic mean girl that will do whatever she has to do to make it to the top. She is the most popular, the one that everyone admires. Everyone wants to be her, and she knows it. And everyone in the school feeds into her narcissism to the point that she crashes at the very end. And like through the movie, you see her true colors start to come out when people start to go against her and her anger and her spitefulness towards people. So those are just some on-screen examples of people you'll see with narcissism. So what makes being in a relationship with a narcissist dangerous? Now this could be a friendship, a relationship, a coworker, a familial relationship. How can this be dangerous for you and your mental health? Because, I mean, things were great at first. They are charming. They're outgoing. They're unique. They're go-getters. They're super confident and sure of themselves. They seem so sure of themselves and so smart that you start questioning you when you start seeing things go differently than when you first met them. So you start to realize that, okay, they've been kind of only talking about themselves and they never really asked about me or ever ask about me. They feed off of your compliments, and then you begin to see this lack of empathy or understanding. So narcissists often are unable to apologize. So that's another thing a common trait you'll see within a narcissist. They somehow make everything your fault. And this is something that we call gaslighting, which a narcissist can be an expert at. So let's talk about gaslighting. So there are different types of gaslighting. There's countering, withholding, trivializing, denial, diverting, and or stereotyping. So they might do it all, okay? They probably do it all. A gaslighter will gaslight however they need to get themselves out of a situation that they don't want to be in or to win a situation that they want to win. So, countering, what is it? Countering is when a gaslighter questions your memory. I don't think you're remembering that correctly. That is not what I said. That never happened. So obviously this is dangerous because you begin to question your own sanity and you begin to question your own experiences, okay? And that's totally unfair. You know what happened. Make sure you're very sure of that. Also, sometimes people don't believe that things happen that the way that you're describing. And it's okay that your perception of an argument or what someone said is different from what they said or what they meant, okay? So there are people that use the right words but the wrong tone, and their tone can make you think it was something else. You perceived what they said as something else because their tone was not correct or in the way that they wanted it to come off, okay? So if someone is not allowing you to explain that and your perception is your reality and they are completely shutting you down, definitely make sure that you trust yourself, trust your intuition. And if you find yourself dealing with someone who's doing all these things that I've been talking about so far, maybe seek a mental health professional to talk with them about this relationship that you're in. Gaslighting type two is withholding. So withholding happens when a gaslighter pretends that they don't know what you're talking about and they refuse to listen to you. So simply, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't want to deal with this. You're just trying to confuse me. So this will cause a person to doubt themselves and feel like they're doing something wrong. Okay. Trivializing is the third type, and it's when a gaslighter belittles or disregards your feelings. So I've heard this one over and over. I was just kidding. God, you're so sensitive. You can never take a joke. You're just no fun. Okay, this can cause a person to blame themselves and truly believe that they are being too sensitive when trying to set a boundary that is more than fair. Okay, you are allowed to set boundaries, and that doesn't make you too sensitive. And what the hell is wrong with being sensitive anyway? So if your partner cannot respect that something hurt your feelings, then that is an issue. Okay, denial. Denial happens when a gaslighter refuses to take responsibility for their actions. I never did that. I never said that. The only reason I yelled is because you made me so mad that I couldn't help myself. So this can cause people to begin making excuses and defending their partners or friends and their actions or behaviors. We begin apologizing for them, or we apologize to save ourselves from a lengthy argument or one that will escalate. Diverting is a technique a gaslighter uses when they change the focus of the argument or discussion to questioning the credibility of the other person. So you have no idea what you're talking about. You're only a kid. So you'll hear that like by narcissistic parents. That's very common. You're only a kid. You have no idea what you're talking about. Or someone belittling your job position. Like, you're just a cashier. What would you know? So you begin to question yourself and your intelligence, and you lose confidence in yourself. Who wouldn't? Stereotyping is when a gaslighter uses negative stereotypes about one's gender, race, ethnicity, sexuality, nationality, or age to gaslight them. Sure, go ahead, call the cops, but they won't believe you. Someone would say that to a person of color. Or, no one will believe you. You're just a woman. You think they're going to believe you over me? Yeah, these can be super triggering to people, so apologies if it was. Gaslighting can be very triggering, and it can cause a lot of anxiety when you're around someone who is a gaslighter. Oh, boy, do you start to question yourself and your sanity. Yes, this is what makes being in a relationship, whatever type of relationship it is, with a narcissist, dangerous, because your mental health begins to decline. If you see patterns like this in someone that you know or you care about or you're in a relationship with, definitely seek outside help. Make sure that you're safe. And yeah, definitely put yourself first. You deserve it, no matter what anyone else tells you, okay? So what causes narcissism? So narcissism and personality disorders in general are mainly caused from trauma. And as sad as it is, like, it's true. So they could have had a narcissist parent themselves. They could have had a parent diagnosed with NPD or just really high levels of narcissism that taught them these traits and characteristics in a young age. So it's sad because you know that this person is hurt and they are this way because of how they were raised or the house that they grew up in. And this is a defense mechanism to keep them safe and their insecurities at bay. But it's no excuse to treat people poorly. Okay. So I'm not going to allow someone to treat me poorly just because they had a really hard life or really traumatic events growing up. It is no excuse. Just like we see, and this is a very extreme example, but we don't excuse people who have murdered or beaten or hurt others, who have sexually assaulted people because they grew up in a really bad environment. Feel bad for the child. Do not feel bad for the adult, okay? You can feel bad for when they were a kid and grew up in a really bad and tough environment, but you do not have to feel bad for the adult who needs to take responsibility for their actions. And that's why it's important that you remember that you come first. And if you feel like you're being treated poorly, do not try to excuse that behavior by, well, you know, he had a really hard life or she had a really hard life growing up, and I feel like I can help them. You can't, and it's not your job to. You need to help you, and you come first, okay? And there's a quote that I found on the internet that says, there is a difference between supporting someone and feeding someone's narcissism. One is support and the other is not. So supporting someone would be either trying to get them help, which honestly, most of the time you're not going to see that, okay? Mental health professionals do not see a lot of narcissists come in and say, I want to get treatment, I need help. The way that narcissists get treatment a lot of the time is it's mandated. So court mandated or school mandated. Yeah, they're not just walking into clinics wanting to help with their narcissism. You're supporting them also means taking a step back and making sure that you are constantly putting yourself first. If it's getting worse and escalating, then also seek more professional help with that, because you are not alone and you can get the help and resources out there, okay? I will make that the full takeaway from this, is that you can't change other people's actions or behaviors. You can't control them. You can't change them. You can't make a narcissist not a narcissist. You are not in that level of expertise. So the best thing you can do is get yourself the help that you need and the support that you need to either get out of that relationship, get out of that situation, or to find coping skills and learn how to create boundaries that will allow you to stay within those bounds in a healthy way. Okay, well, that kind of sums up my narcissist episode today. I really hope y'all enjoyed it. I definitely find this subject interesting. I wrote a whole paper on how parenting with narcissistic personality disorder affects childhood development. And I really enjoyed writing that and learning more about it. This is definitely a subject that interests me and fascinates me. And I hope that y'all took away something from it. All right. I will see you guys next week. And don't forget, follow GoodYou on Instagram at goodyou.therapy to stay up to date with the new episodes. Today's music was written and produced by Tyler O'Brien. You can find him on Instagram at Dreamscape, DREAMSCAPE, and follow his band at Wastelander_band on Instagram.